Out of thumbs. Number one podcast.
It's June 10th, 2009, and E3 happened.
And this is episode 30?
Yes.
And I'm Chris Remo.
This is episode 30 of E30. What?
30.
It's E30 of Idle Thumbs podcast.
Spectacular.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
Wait, what?
And I'm Chris Remo.
I guess I'm Nick Brecken.
Well, I think you are. So, right. so welcome back to Idle Thumbs.
Yeah, welcome back. We don't know how to do this anymore.
Yeah.
E3 has warped our minds. Our perceptions of what video games are have been changed forever.
Yeah.
Probably it's a motion wand or something.
Why do you even need a wand?
That's true. When you have a virtual house.
When you have a 10-year-old boy who will do your bidding. Trapped in your television.
Jesus.
Anyway, Christ. Nick, I think you had some kind of like anecdote about APB.
You're talking... Oh, yeah.
Because at the end of... when you die in Mario Sunshine... Crazy horns honk.
Right.
And,
when you get
crazy horns.
And then this, Nick was about to tell a story jumping off of that. And so now we're going to hear it because we don't know what it is. It better be good. It better live up to the E30 spectacular.
So in APB, when you kill a dude, you can actually compose a little song that plays.
Really?
And when that person dies, your song plays. And the demo song that they used was like
for
Mario
them,
Land.
Or, like,
yeah,
how does
for
that
them.
Work?
So like as a mocking thing. So it can be like Benny Hill, or the song they used was like Mario Land.
How do you compose it? Is it a little MIDI thing?
Yeah, yeah. Right now it's like a beta
awesome.
Thing. Like, you know, it's sort of rough, but they're you know.
You can't just record you going penis.
No, you can't, unfortunately.
No, that's better. I mean, it's funnier that it's just like this little melody that you construct.
Although that sample will be included. Also, I'm stupid, so what game are you guys talking about?
APB.
All Points
Bulletin. It's Real-Time Worlds.
Real-Time Worlds.
Yeah.
The people who made Crackdown.
Right.
Okay.
And like
Dave
Jones, who originally created GTA and Lemmings and stuff.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's a wacky feature. I mean, that's sort of like the taking a photo thing from Burnout Revenge and Paradise and stuff, and just more extreme.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they had a lot of...
They can embed a full flash file, a full stream to their console.
Yeah, a guy parachuting on top of your screen. Insurance, quote by print. Fuck you.
Yeah.
That probably doesn't happen in that game.
Yeah. No, they had a lot of experimental stuff in there. I mean, I don't know. It's none of the stuff was final, but I mean, you could compose a full MIDI song that you could play from your car.
How long could it be? Well, when someone dies, they've got to listen to your symphony?
No. Like,
I have constructed an opera.
Your punishment is this.
The third movement.
An atonal 12-tone.
What?
In the style of Schoenberg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's, I think it's...
I hope you enjoy my latest work!
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be more like gangsta than that, I think.
But, well, fuck that.
Yeah.
What?
Mine's gonna be a goddamn minuet. It's gonna be sweet.
Yep.
So yeah, we'll be releasing the best of the music of Idle Thumbs MIDI DLC for APB. So
that would be hilarious if they had a marketplace for that, like the equivalent of ringtones.
It's an auction. That's what you do in the game.
Really?
You
get
sell
ready
all the content you make in the game. You can put up on like for auction.
So if
get ready
wants,
for Senior
Super
Douche the
Deck Mid.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Thanks. That's Idle Thumbs 30.
Good times.
Yeah.
We should probably, I mean, I think it's only fitting that we start off with the Steven Spielberg shit, because there's some very Idle Thumbs relevant.
Yeah, I heard that the Countdown to Tears is back on.
It will begin anew. So, I mean, as you guys know, if you've listened to more than a few episodes, basically anything before GDC Steven Spielberg prophesied. Steven Spielberg and Neil Young prophesied.
Neil Young of EALA and
NG Moco. Prophesied that this year, 2009, roughly around the time of GDC, a video game would finally make you cry. But then, as far as we could tell, it didn't actually happen.
Well, the iPhone changed everything.
The iPhone changed everything, exactly. And so we didn't get that game around GDC time. And Neil Young was very
vague. It's like a Star Trek thing. It's a reboot. Yeah, right. You're in a different universe
about what would come next. Well, there's still the same continuity. I mean, it just got changed. It's not... Oh, it's the same universe. So it's Terminator, it's just then. Fate has been changed.
Right. Well, no. Yeah. Leonard Nimoy appeared with an iPhone 3G.
All right. So we didn't know what the future would hold. But now we do, though. So, and in fact, Steven Spielberg now has an explanation for why games haven't been making us cry all this time. If you saw the Microsoft press conference, you'll know that they've got this Project Natal thing, this camera with a microphone and a crazy mocap thing that allows you to control games just by moving around and saying stuff and not actually holding any controller. And
it allows me to hate it.
Yeah, I know. according to Steven Spielberg, the thing, he had some amazing quote. It was like, you know, the thing is, with all of the complex controls you've had to learn in a game, there just wasn't room for a game to make you cry.
But now, if you're a kickboxer, you can actually fight a guy. Everyone else can't play that game.
So, yeah, right. But now, like, once you remove the controls, there's room to cry. He actually said something pretty much that.
Well, that's true.
Like, he actually referred directly to crying. I mean, I'm not extrapolating out. Like, now there's room for it. Like, you've gotten the controller out of the way and you can squeeze some tears in. So, that...
Controller made of tears.
Yeah. And, now we're. I,
that's what that
Microsoft didn't actually announce a release date for this thing.
Can Natal sense your tears?
Well, that was that. That was that.
Does it have a moisture detector?
Well, according to Peter Molyneux, it does.
Where you see your reflection, that's just the puddle of tears from
that you have wept over years of not. Yeah. That you've accrued from years of video game playing.
You run your hand through it.
Yeah,
that's a game.
Yeah, I mean, what are we talking about?
Video games.
Microsoft hasn't set a date for the release of this device, so we still don't know when
they do. The countdown's fucking on.
Yeah, we will be here to count it down to 2 years. So that's good. I'm glad that this fucking long running Idle Thumbs institution of 6 years or so now is somehow still going strong.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steven Spielberg.
Yep.
And then Sony announced a thing too. I didn't see it though.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any of the press conferences during the show. You can tell how great a job I did at E3 this year. I didn't see any of the press conferences, and then I watched the Microsoft one like this weekend or something.
Yeah.
And then I got through about half of the Sony one before my internet went out, and I just never started back up again. And so I still haven't seen any. So I've seen about half of Sony's. I haven't seen any of Nintendo's, except for the Metroid trailer.
Right.
But you saw it.
Yeah, Nick saw everything. He saw it.
I didn't see I only saw parts of Sony's. I wasn't actually there.
Ah.
But
so quality coverage.
None of
us saw their motion.
I went to Nintendo's. Well, the Sony thing is just, you know, it's two wands. They're prototypes.
Right.
And, you know, they did give like a loose date for it, which was spring 2010. But I mean, essentially it's one-to-one stuff, and it can sense, you know, Z-axis movement.
Is the idea of two wands so you can better triangulate?
I think it's so that you have like tactile feedback of some kind.
Yeah, I mean the thing they demoed was like a bow and arrow and
like a wand.
Yeah, it's wand stuff.
The wizard's wand.
I don't know. My colleague Chris Failer is really excited about this, but I don't know. I'm not that excited at all.
I was really open minded about the Wii early on. And really receptive to it. And I know this is different than the Wii, and this is, I know it's not all the same thing.
Well, the thing that they did show that everybody wanted from the Wii was a one-to-one sword. You know, they had like
I've never cared
rudimentary
about that,
dude, and they were waving the sword around and they could sort of, you know, tip his arm up a little bit. You know, I mean, it's very precise and, you know,
right.
They had ragdoll things going on and, you know, I mean, that's what everybody's wanted from the Wii. So, I mean, you can do it on this pretty easily, I guess.
That's what everybody's wanted.
Well, it's what they wanted in their mind.
This makes me sound like a...
Well, it's what they want in their forum posts too. I mean, it's what everyone very vocally wants.
Yes. But I...
it's one of those things that people want, but I don't know if you actually... I don't know if people
once you get it, they may not want it.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's... This is going to make me sound like a big
asshole. No, go ahead.
But it is the PlayStation 3 version of what everybody wants, which is like extreme gratuitous fidelity.
Mm.
Yeah,
the Xbox 360 one actually seems more like that to me.
Really,
the 360 one's the one that seems to be really like over the top in a really impractical way to me. Like the PS3 one, at least you're holding a thing that you can point at the screen,
yeah.
And I have a pretty good idea of like where that's going to map up. Whereas the 360 one, I'm like fucking float, like I'm just like waving.
You can steer a car just by miming a steering wheel.
What does that mean? That is the weirdest shit. All those people who drive cars, that holding a thing in their hand, that's been a really barrier for them to play a racing game. You know, the idea of holding something and steering it,
well, no, dude,
that's just, those people just can't wrap their minds around that.
Have a living room table, because if the thing can't see your fucking foot, press the gas pedal, you're gonna lose that race.
Yeah.
Unless it can sense heat.
The racing one really just amazes me. Like, it's already weird enough to play, like, Excite Truck. That's already kind of a hilarious, goofy, over-the-top thing. The idea of
Could you like, see somebody, like, can you, like, walk, like, walking down the street, you know, like, on a sidewalk, and then you look in somebody's, like, window, and you see, like, a family of four people just, like, fucking jumping around, throwing their arms in the air.
Why
like,
would you see? Oh, you mean in a house. Like, I thought you meant, like, in a minivan.
Well, they've got.
Well, because I was originally imagining you describing someone driving a car this interface.
Right, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that said, all of what we're saying does surely sound exactly like what everyone said about the Wii.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
You're right. But really, driving a car without holding anything? How is that in any way remotely more like driving a car than using any kind of physical apparatus?
Well, what they haven't shown you yet are the eye attachments that plug into your optic nerve and the big spike that goes into the back of your head that actually gives you weird biohaptic feedback so you feel like you're holding a steering wheel. That was too risque for E3.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're holding that one up for your nightmares.
Exclusively to be unveiled. Yes. Yeah. In your deepest, most...
Yeah. Allard will be unmasked, and you won't wake up.
That sounds like the plot of an upcoming film. What is that movie? I don't know. Surrogates. But yeah.
All right.
I heard Allard as a cameo.
Project Surrogates.
But I don't know. I really feel, and you're right when you say this is what everyone said about the Wii. You're right.
Yeah.
And I'm very conscious of that, which is why I very consciously feel like I can feel myself transforming into a curmudgeonly, crotchety old man.
You just want to see these people dancing around.
Right.
Well, like,
the more of this shit that gets announced, the more I feel like I'm just retreating into
recreating?
Recreating.
You're secreting?
I'm secreting. The more I feel like I'm just retreating into a cocoon of just like, get off my lawn. Like, it's right. It's
give me my mouse and my phantom lap board.
Right. I mean, I honestly, that is not, it's a not insignificant part of why I'm doing a lot more on the PC, is that I just don't have to pay attention to the one-upmanship of the console stuff. I don't know. Like, I don't need to, like, probably no one's going to release all this shit for the PC. Like, I can just kind of play games the way I know how to play them. Like, I think it's cool that someone's trying this shit. Like, it's cool that people are like researching things.
It's just a fad. It's just a fad.
Well, that's it. Well, I don't think it is, though.
No.
Like, that's,
yeah, I know.
That's more what I mean. Like,
that's why I said it.
Yeah. So I mean, that's my point. Like, it's, you know, it's kind of, it's, I don't know.
I do though hope that it doesn't, it's the sort of thing that could appear for a while, and then hopefully it will just sort of become a page in the book of things you can do when making a game, and not
right.
the dominating.
Yeah.
And it, I mean,
like, how do you even just move around in that fucking?
Know, I mean,
well, the way you're talking about Natal, because I mean, with the PlayStation Wands, they're doing it. They don't even have analog sticks, which I think is bizarre. I think I would almost want analog sticks on those. But,
yeah.
But you hold a button to go forward on the one, and then you hold another button on the right stick to go backwards is the way they were sort of demoing it. So it's weird.
So it's like Killer 7.
All games off the rails. But, yeah. I mean, all this stuff does sort of feel to me like we're getting back into sort of, this could be the new version of a CD-ROM or 3D or full motion video.
Right.
Just like, every game's doing this bullshit for 2 or 3 years, and then everyone
it's
goes,
probably,
oh, games are ruined forever, and then it just, oh, okay, actually, this is now just a thing that you can have in a game.
It's probably a good time to do that, I mean, at the, you know, I mean, by the time
is a good time.
Well, before the next, before the next console cycle, I mean, you know, these are going to be sort of like stopgap.
Everyone can get it out of their system.
Well, I mean, you
before
know,
it becomes standard included for everyone. Yeah. Once, well, yeah, the, I mean, once the shit like ships with a system.
Yeah.
That's like way different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if a system if a system ships with a wacky wand and
a controller,
a thing that has an analog stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me.
No, it doesn't bother me either. I just,
which is essentially what the Wii is. I mean, you, yeah, this, so.
I mean, there.
It's just more. It, yeah,
it is what the Wii is. Whatever. There are Wii games that are not that. The best Wii games are the ones that just have a little bit of the Wii remote stuff, and then are traditional games.
Well, I mean, from a hardware. God, sometimes though, when you talk to developers, I mean, it is like, man, Wii Sports. You know, holy shit! I mean, that changed the industry, and now everything's going towards that, and it's just kind of get a little depressing.
That is reactionary, though.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, it could be what games are forever, or everyone could be freaking out.
Yeah,
yeah.
I hope they're freaking out.
I mean, I feel like the place that things are probably going to land, at least in terms of like. Actual game space, if you're going to look at the Wii, is more like things like Metroid Prime 3 or Galaxy, which are games that benefit from having all that.
You think so? Because Metroid Prime didn't sell all that. I mean, it really doesn't seem like there's actually a huge market for that.
Well,
Galaxy does, but it's Mario. I don't think that's a useful.
You mean in terms of the implementation of the?
I don't mean
hardware.
I mean, maybe Prime 3 is slightly ahead of its time. I don't know, but it's a game that felt nice with the gesture system, but it wasn't a game that was about. Having
waving your hand around a lot.
Spatial input, you know. So hopefully that's where we end up going once the novelty of you can waggle a thing around and the thing on the screen also waggles goes away in the same style as a polygon is on the screen or a video can be played. You know, I mean that's how I feel about it. I'm going to keep saying the same thing over and over.
Fair enough.
Video games.
That kind of stuff's going to be a nightmare for multi-platform games. Yeah, I mean,
I know. Jesus. There's just a lot of really. Difficult logistical things that go on with this, like it's just seems like a really, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's how anything is when you introduce a new concept. I mean, obviously, there's always a tough mountain to climb, mm-hmm. but it really does highlight the extreme weirdness of having three or four, if you count the PC, entirely separate hardware platforms that you've got to target to or choose one and then make sure you hit your market. Like, that's really, really weird from a standpoint of any other form of entertainment.
You are right that it is nice that it's happening now at this point in the console cycle, because hopefully there will be enough time between now and the next generation of hardware for people to realize the stuff about this, about all this sort of spatial controller stuff that is stupid and the stuff that is worth keeping, so that we'll get closer to a streamlined feature set across whatever people put out next time. Maybe we won't, but that would be really, really horrible because no one would want to develop for any of it.
Yeah.
You know, actually one side effect of this that I don't know if this will actually happen or not, but one thing that I do think is actually might be good that is born out of these things is that if these things don't come out till 2010 at the earliest, and that's probably likely, probably early, mid 2010. I don't know. Who knows? You know, they come around then, probably Nintendo and Sony, or I'm sorry, Sony and Microsoft are going to want to spend some time actually encouraging developers to make these games and release them for these peripherals. I mean, they're not they're going to want to have a couple more years come out of these console systems. Like, they don't want
all that
R&D and investment to just sort of die on the vine with the next generation coming out a year later. Like,
so we might be seeing the full potential of the PlayStation 3 in 2015.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even before these announcements, people were starting to, you know, talk about how this console cycle might be a lot longer than people expected.
It is nice in that.
Yeah, but you did. But then you did have guys like Ubisoft's,
like Microsoft's already got the new.
Well, like him, he's like, we've already developing games for PS4 and 362 and Wii 2 or whatever that he said.
Well, the other thing is you're seeing peripherals now, like the fucking Tony Hawk skateboard, which costs like $130 for that bundle, and that's one game, you don't know if like there are going to be like 10 more. I mean, I'm sure they'll do a sequel or something, but like that's just like its own little contained platform. And
the best part though is that you've got Tony Hawk. He gets up fucking Tony Hawk. Oh, God, the guy's been shilling things for 15 years in the video game industry at this point. You know, he marches out, gives his like sort of half-assed, like, I'm Tony Hawk. Please buy my newest product. You're going to really love it because you can skate a board. And then he does this thing. Fucking 10 minutes later, can't wait to skateboard with no board using our new thing. Oh. What? Tony Hawk got fucking owned right
there.
Yeah,
he did.
Like, Jesus, I don't really want to do either of those things, but the one that makes me not have to pay $130 extra is the one I would be less likely to avoid.
Stand on your living room floor. Right. Either way, you look dumb. But
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
with the one with no board, people are way more confused looking at you. They can't see the screen.
That's what's funny is now Sony and Microsoft have to get into the hilarious act that Nintendo's been dealing with for like three years now, which is lifestyle filming videos footage. Of guys assholes. Like,
the Microsoft video was that.
It was. Yeah, it was exactly that style.
They're all in on the act now. They're all fucking. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's making weird videos of people jumping up and down and diving behind fucking couches and like, what?
I like that, like,
screen and wheels.
Kids who are like six or like maybe four or five who are just sort of becoming conscious of what things are that exist.
Yeah. They're growing up in this world.
Right, yeah, is this a video game? I don't know. It's like when I was
that, or this is how humans operate.
I just remember when I was a kid. I was born in 1980, and I didn't know like the history of rock music.
Yeah.
So when I was first understanding sort of what popular music was, it was all like crazy hair bands and metal, and I was like, "This is rock." My parents like this. This is weird. This doesn't, because you know my mom was always like, "Oh, your dad loved rock and roll music."
Right.
And
oh yeah, like, yeah. You had no sense of history.
Yeah, I didn't understand what the hell came before that, and I was like, "That doesn't seem like my dad."
Right. Yeah.
So hopefully that's happening.
So now your
right
dad
now.
Will be like jumping up and down on a fake like skateboard.
He said he likes video.
What are you
games,
doing, Dad?
This is what he likes. That's weird. I guess he likes hopping around, looking like a weirdo.
I could be into that as a 3-year-old. Good times, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah. Jake, you raise a good point, though, about like how is that going to work in a room with a table, or how is that? I mean, like, there's so many things that could go wrong with that camera thing. But anyway, we can move on.
It's just going to track your eyes. It'll be weird.
Well, yeah. Peter Molyneux promises it. How creepy was that?
I love his
kid.
Oh yeah.
I didn't see that, but I just read
it. Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
Oh my god, Peter Molyneux has created a boy, like a 10-year-old boy.
My name's Milo.
Who exists in
Can you help me with my homework?
It's Jake is making a really horrified face, and it's well deserved. Like, it's a weird thing. Like Peter, like, okay, so I will back this up by saying this came after like a week of Peter Molyneux. This is a really dorky thing to talk about, but it I don't know. It was formed part of kind of a narrative in my mind. Peter Molyneux signed up for Twitter like a week ago, and he, you know, like the Consolvania version of Molyneux, like the joke about Molyneux is that he's like a hilarious like man child who sort of is out of touch with everything that happens in reality. Yes. Like apparently he might actually be like like all he, I mean, I love the guy. I think he's great, but his posts on Twitter are hysterical. First of all, he's got the worst spelling ever, so he already kind of reads like kind of the people on the internet where you're just like, what, like, are you, I don't know, like,
sure, this is
your
a
second
real
language
account,
or like
right.
are you like a kid or something, like, I don't know. And so he already spells, but then he'll harp on these little things and be like, he's like, I'm waiting in this room to do a presentation and there's cookies in here. And then he'll follow it up later and he's like, these cookies look delicious. And then he follows up and he's like, I still didn't eat that cookie, but I'm thinking about it. And it's like all, you know, with this like poor grammar and spelling, and it's this like adorable little child like on a computer. And like, but it's Peter Molyneux, this like probably multi-millionaire video game designer. And so then he trots out his like big project, and it's this little 10-year-old, like precious little 10-year-old boy who you go and like walk around a pond with, and like, what? Like, what? Weird. Also, maybe I'll have to edit this out in retrospect, but one of my coworkers commented, like, people have compared this the boy to the Dreamcast game Seaman, the little like AI. Yeah. And one of my coworkers commented of Molyneux.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh. That might have to go.
Maybe.
I don't know. That's the title of the episode.
Oh god.
That's
Yeah.
Hey, so Nick, what'd you see at E3?
Yeah, we should actually talk about video games.
Like actual video games and not
So now that the intro is over, we're
not like jump around in your living room.
Yeah. And this is Idle Thumbs 30.
E30. It's a joke.
Oh.
So what did you see that was cool? I didn't see as much as I wanted to.
I saw a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Jake didn't go to E3. This must have been your first year in a while that you didn't go to E3. Or it's did you not go last year?
It's the first year that I didn't go to a real E3.
Right.
Since 2000, possibly. Yeah. I missed the last 2 years when it was fake in hotels and stuff. But yeah, right. I didn't go this year.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, I kind of wanted to. I shouldn't have that desire.
Yeah, it's not a good desire.
No, that's not
so
healthy.
Nick, what was particularly good that you saw?
I would say probably Star Wars: The Old Republic was the most impressive thing to me. If you're just sitting down to look at the game and you don't know that it's an MMO or whatever, like looking at that game, you would not be, you know, utterly blown away. But taking it in that context, it's really, really impressive. Like if what they showed is indicative of like every quest in the game and every world in the game, you know, I mean, if they keep up that level of content, it'll be pretty phenomenal.
Huh.
I mean, it's like playing a single player game, but in an MMO context, and there are all these things that they've done. I mean, like one class has like a cover system.
I heard about that.
To that class, and there's another. I mean, little things like that. If you're in a party and you're engaged in a dialogue conversation with an NPC, somebody who's in your party can make a dialogue choice, and then while you're in that same conversation, your party member will make a comment, you know, that just is sort of like a dynamic comment, like, you know, in the conversation that is whatever he chose. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of this thing where it plays out like a single player game, but, you know, there's that MMO.
But you're in a persistent world.
Yeah. So it's just really impressive. The single player mission they showed was, you know, years ahead of a World of Warcraft quest. You know,
what's an example?
You start out. You know, they cut to a point, but I mean, you work your way through this sort of like Star Destroyer thing, and then they cut to the point where you reach the guy who you're playing as this bad Sith dude, and you get to the bridge and you have to like punish the guy and choose whether he lives or dies, and then you gain light points or dark points, just like a regular BioWare game. And then after that, I mean, just, you know, everything goes bonkers. And just from a presentation standpoint, there were, you know, things going on outside the ship, like you could see through windows. I mean, just they're spending a lot of money on the game.
Right.
I mean, it's really what like the takeaway. I mean, they're just really going all out with it. But
they're spending it well, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, I mean, it's got that level of presentation that Warcraft doesn't have. I mean, it's just, there is no quest dialogue thing. You know, I mean, there's no box that just with text. You know, everything plays out like a normal game. So with everything else on top of it, I mean, that's going to be a completely different MMO than you're used to. I mean, everything is fully voiced and, you know, on and on. So, and also they're doing some cool things with the classes, which I didn't really expect. Like, they're actually making them fairly unique in a way that, you know, I don't know, Star Wars, I wouldn't really expect with Star Wars. Like, I mean, they're taking it back to where, like, the smuggler is sort of like a Han Solo dude, and they're sort of amping up, like, all of the abilities are kind of things that he would do. Like, you know, the melee stuff, he just kicks people in the balls and just random crap like that. I don't know.
That sounds good.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Sweet.
Kicking people in the balls.
I hope it's not that good, because I don't want to be compelled to play it.
Mm. Well, I mean, the nice thing about it is it's the kind of game that I think you could play in spurts and not have to worry about grinding too much.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the attractive thing about it.
Until all your friends are better than you. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Until they have like 16 lightsabers.
Yeah. God, and always that Penny Arcade is what I always think of when like a guy logs off and shows up again, and then Gabe comes marching in on like a majestic beast with like 4,000 tons of armor on. It's like, that's how I felt whenever I ever tried to play WoW. I would disappear for 4 days and come back, and everyone's like, hey, check it out. And then I hate games.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. Everyone does that, I'm sure.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
That is a shared stupid experience.
Yep.
That I hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anything you saw that isn't an MMO that's cool?
You know what was cool? Splosion Man.
Oh, man. Oh, really?
Yeah. It was weird. Really? It was just sort of sitting in the
That's by Circle Studios or something. Like that. No, not Circle. It's by UK guys.
Now I'm not gonna be able to think of
Maybe
it.
Maybe not.
Or
is it the Maw? Is it the guys who made the Maw? Twisted Pixel.
I can't remember now.
There are two games that remind me of one another because they're both side-scrolly things with explosions in them. And one of them is by a UK-based studio. And
I think
one
it
of
is
them
the Maw
is by,
guys.
Is by the Austin-based guys who made the Maw. Yeah,
I think it's the Maw guys.
So that's Twisted Pixel. So anyway, what about it? Cool.
It was just sort of sitting in this group of other Xbox Live games, and nobody was ever playing it, and I felt bad, so I sat down and played it. Right. And then I played it the next day for like 30 minutes. It's so fucking goofy. Like, the character is just fucking like, he runs around with like his arms dangling, and then he'll do like a, like, he's just fucking like,
Nick is acting it out. He's
yeah, this,
right
this
now.
Is worthless for a
he's
podcast.
He's playing the game using Project Natal.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the premise is that you're this guy who's like the victim of this experiment. There are all these, you're basically chasing around like mad scientists with white hair in the same way that you would chase around bad guys in Sonic. And that, like, they have all these other people that they're experimenting on that you free as you go along through the level, like you would like animals in Sonic. It sort of plays like Sonic in a weird way, but it's
don't
better.
You
like
blow up a lot.
Yeah, yeah. The whole mechanic is you just hit A and you explode, and then you blast yourself up, and that's kind of like a jump thing. You ricochet off of walls, and it's fun. It has a really nice flow, and it's just goofy as all hell.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Did you? Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what I saw that was good. This is a funny story. Maybe it's a funny story. I don't know. You guys can be the judge of this. So I was playing Left 4 Dead 2. I played through a campaign of that. And
too soon. Oh, too soon.
God.
Did you sign the petition?
No.
Yeah, we can talk about that later or never.
So anyway. Yeah. Well, it's actually funny. It's on that note. I don't want to get too deep into discussion about that because it's its own
it's
thing.
It's stupid too.
But it's funny because my friend who doesn't play that many video games. I've mentioned this guy a couple times because he's an interesting example. Isn't it an example of someone who's not like a hardcore guy who keeps up with everything?
Mm-hmm.
He plays Left 4 Dead. He played Bioshock. He plays like some couple games every year. And it's funny because his reaction to Left 4 Dead 2 when he found out it was announced was, oh man, cool. I liked Left 4 Dead. Like, it was really funny because it was just so far removed from.
That's
guess,
pretty good.
Guess who's feeling that?
Everybody
everyone
else
everyone
who's not on the internet
who does not post on a gaming forum is saying Left 4 Dead 2 fuck yes.
Well, it's sad though because I was walking through the convention and I would hear people say like, oh, like I had there was a guy with like a huge camera, you know, clearly like, oh, we gotta get footage of this, we gotta get footage of that, and then like he looked at Left 4 Dead 2, he's like, oh, Left 4 Dead 2 fuck that game, that's just bullshit. I was like, oh,
classic
really?
Nerd
like,
rage idiocy,
like,
where
oh come
like,
on
yeah basically anyone who didn't read the comment about DLC for Left 4 Dead 1 or like, never heard of Team Fortress 2 is surely excited about Left 4 Dead 2.
Well, my friend even plays Team Fortress 2. He just doesn't think about it in those terms. He doesn't think of like Valve breaking a social covenant that we like he assumed to be there. Covenant. He's like, oh, I like Team Fortress. They put stuff in it. He's like, I like Left 4 Dead. You kill zombies and it's really fun and there's good versus mode and there's going to be a new one and it's going to be fun. Like, I don't know. Probably
it's also
a little more deeply than that, but probably not too much more deeply than that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my story is I'm in the room. This has nothing to do with that whole controversy.
Good.
I'm in the room playing Left 4 Dead 2. I interviewed the project lead on it. I was hanging around waiting to talk to Doug Lombardi, and a guy came up to me, and I couldn't remember who he was, but he remembered me. He's like, hey, Chris, how's it going? And I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? And he's like, so what did you think of the new game? And I'm like, oh, you know, it's cool. I like the previous one, and it's, you know, it's hard to make a really deep judgment about it now just because I only played through, you know, most of one campaign, and it's hard to get a sense for like the little additions and things, but you know, it seems good. He's like, well, what did you not like about it? And I'm like, well, you know, it really seems like they're mainly, you know, just improving on the first, so I don't know if there's gonna be a lot of specific things I don't like because I really like the previous one. And he's like, oh, okay, so you played both previous games? And and I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? And he's like, oh, I'm talking about God of War 3. And I'm like, oh, weird, okay, God of War 3, yeah, well, I didn't really like the first. I'm not really into it. I couldn't really get into the previous game, so I didn't. Haven't really checked out three here at the show yet. And then, as I was saying this in my brain, I'm like, "Oh shit! This is the designer of God of War 3.
Oh,
I met
no.
like at a post E3 party like on Monday." Who?
Oh no!
It was really awkward. So, like, in the middle of the sentence, as I was coming to this realization, I was like, "But you know, they've always been so well regarded, and I'm gonna go back and kind of give it another shot." And I just kind of farted out at that point.
That's great.
And he was pretty classy. I mean, he was a good, you know, he was.
Yeah.
not at all an asshole about it, as I inadvertently was.
He just stole some of your teeth.
Yeah, right. It was, yeah, he ripped off my head and then plucked out my eyeball. Jesus Christ. Have you guys seen some of that shit?
Yeah.
It's a little disturbing, honestly.
That abrupt about face and it's crabbing up.
Well, I mean, I ended up on Friday heading up to the Sony, like, closed doors areas kind of in the last few hours of the show and playing some of the stuff up there. And I did play God of War 3. And, you know, it's fine if you want to do this. Like, it's, I don't think you shouldn't be able to, but God, it did kind of creep me out. Like, it did gross me out. Like, I mean, there's some dude who the protagonist, like, literally just pulls his head off and the flesh, like stretches and then, like, rips, and you can see it rip along the seam of his neck.
That's
and
what
it's
I'm talking
just
about
like,
with the PS3. It's just like the Wii, but, like, higher graphic fidelity.
What? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Well, it made no sense, but
yeah. Well, anyway,
I made Nick laugh, so that's okay.
There's another part where you rip off the eyeball, rip out the eyeball of a cyclops. Like, you pull it, you just like jerk it out, and the fucking optical nerve snaps. Like, it's fucking, it's pretty gross. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the previous games probably had pretty gross stuff in them too, but this seemed pretty extreme. I don't know. But, you know, whatever. I don't know.
It's an extreme video game.
But yeah, so that experience with a guy was the most hilariously, deliciously awkward moment of my E3. Oh, although, you know what? I'm not going to top it, but I'm going to introduce another awkward moment of my E3. When I interviewed the BioWare doctors, Greg Zestchuk and Ray Muzyka. These guys, like, I've interviewed them before, and they're great guys. I really like them a lot. They're really, really smart, really intelligent, really well-spoken, and really nice. This time, though, I think probably they'd done a whole bunch of interviews all in this little booth behind EA's main stage, and they were probably getting a little testy, or at least, I don't know. It was funny. Like,
I had the same.
Oh, yeah. Really? Did you have the same experience?
I did.
Like, Greg was like, I asked about their relationship with LucasArts working on The Old Republic, and Greg was like, yeah, you know, we were working with them, and we have kind of a digital kind of conference thing going on, and it's, you know, it's working well. And then Ray's like, tell him about the digital thing. And he's like, oh, I just did. And he's like, oh, I didn't hear you because it's loud. He's like, oh, okay, well, you know, I told him about it. Well, I mean, I didn't hear you. I'm just saying I didn't hear you because it was loud. It's like, well, I told him. Do you want to tell him? Do you want me to say it again? What do you want me to do? Look, I'm just saying I didn't hear you. I just didn't hear you. And I was sitting there the whole time just like, like, as these guys turn into, like, a married couple. I don't even think it's going to come through. It was so fucking loud. It really was. And I was recording on my iPhone because I ran out of batteries on my regular recorder, and the iPhone is not nearly as good as a recorder. It was surreal. And then on top of that, I started asking questions about all the Dragon Age stuff, about the sex mini games and the fucking weird marketing they've been doing, the really caustic, aggressive marketing, and like that they were not like, I don't know. It was not the right environment to be asking those questions. And then at a certain point, the PR guy was just like, well, time to go. And I don't really know if I can get anything from that interview.
Yeah. I had the same experience.
Really?
Yeah.
They were talking about the video and I want to
reiterate, like, those guys, I think they're great, and I really enjoy interviewing them. Like,
no,
every other time I've ever spoken to them, and they're really cool, and they're really good guys. This was just like a weird, surreal day.
I also had them at the very end of the week as well, like the last appointment.
Yeah.
So,
oh God.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway.
Nick's not gonna elaborate, he's just gonna let that speak for
I'm
himself.
Gonna let that go.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You woke up in a dumpster.
Yeah. Anyway.
Good times.
Yeah. I had a funny Left 4 Dead area thing, too.
Weird. We thought we had parallel E3s, I guess.
I was taking, like, shaky cam footage for Shaq, which was kind of unnecessary, but I was doing it anyway because I just felt like doing it. And then Chris Morris, you know.
Oh, yeah. Now he writes the cutscene blog.
Well, he does that at CNBC
known from CNN Money when he did his Game Over column. Yeah.
Yeah. And he came in and I was like, hi, you know, talking. And then he started talking to Doug Lombardi right next to me as I was taking the shaky cam. And, you know, I was just recording for about a minute. And then he starts talking to Doug. And I realize about halfway through that they're talking so loudly that clearly, like,
this is narration to your
clearly
video.
It's pretty much going to be on whatever I'm getting, and I'm not going to stop because it's like E3 and I'm just, you know,
you just
want to
get your shit done.
People are just going to listen to this at this point. And he starts talking about, like,
So I was banging this chick the other night.
No, he was talking about being on camera, and then he started talking about farts or something, and it was just it
wasn't too far off in terms of tone.
It was like hilarious. I started laughing, and the camera was shaking. And then
did you post this?
Yeah, it's on there. Good. You can go watch it. I don't know if it came through totally because the Shaq audio quality is not the best for the low res, but maybe on the HD. Because
let me just say our website sucks. Yeah, but,
pretty
know.
Much. But anyway, like at the very end, he's like, "All right, see you, Nick." And then I, like an idiot, I turned to look at him and like wave bye and ruin like the video was perfect. I had like captured almost a full level, and then just before like the climactic battle, I'm like, "Oh, bye, Chris." And then I turned and just fucking ruined the whole thing.
Did you put that part in the thing? I hope you did.
No, I edited it out.
Do you have the source? Do you have the source video?
I do. Yeah.
I might need to watch that. That might need to go up on Idle Videos.
All right. But yeah, that was my Left 4 Dead experience.
That's hilarious. By the way, speaking of video, how fucking useless do you feel like covering press conferences now? Because I sure as fuck do. Yeah. What's the point?
I don't bother.
Like, it's ridiculous. My first experience, and it's fine, it's just weird. Like, I think it's good the way it is now that people can just watch this shit on their own. But I
feel like a lot of things might apply to that.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's true.
Like, even behind closed doors presentations, a lot of the time. Why should I be there to do that?
You know, within 24 hours, the direct feed's on Game Trailers
exactly.
or an exclusive.
Or it's
partner.
Even or it's released out before.
The yeah, they yeah. even released yeah. it leading up to E3. Yeah. But yeah, my first experience of this year's E3, my flight was late on Monday, so the first conference I got there for was Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
It was the worst initial like return to old E3 experience I could have possibly had because I was walking down, Broadway, and a block away, there's already just this mass of sweaty fucking dudes just spilling out of this little theater out onto the street. And I get there and I'm like, what is going on? I was there an hour early and it was already like this. And I'm like, what is going on here? And the guy is just like, oh, you got to go in there and get your badge and you got to come back out here.
Oh, wait, this, you're talking about Ubisoft, right?
Yeah.
Holy shit. That was... I actually waited for my badge, and then by the time I got my badge, I was so frustrated, I just left.
I did the exact same thing.
Did you?
I went back to my hotel room, and I watched it the same way
I did too.
That any
All
of
right.
the fucking
yeah, we had, like,
thousands
the exact same E3.
Of gamers online would be watching it, and I wrote it up from there.
I did too.
Including, you know, and I
actually,
it was
it up,
great but... because I got to leave. I got to go get a snack when John Cameron was up there talking, giving a half-hour plot synopsis of his upcoming film, Avatar. It was...
John Cameron?
Or whatever his name is.
John Connor.
What?
It's James.
James Cameron, right. Yeah, I don't, I'm an idiot. I don't... Yeah, I don't know that much about that guy. So, he's up there literally just blow by blow. He's just like... And then they go to this planet, but then this guy's a clone. And then they fly to here, but it turns out this guy didn't know... He's just going like beat by beat down the fucking movie. Apparently, he talks about the ending. I don't know.
He was writing the Wikipedia page before he came into the.
It was weird. Ubisoft had a weird press conference.
Mm. Yeah.
And if I could just launch off that further, sorry to dominate this so much. What the deal? What is the fucking deal with press conferences anyway? Like, I mean,
yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I know. Like, no, it's
an infomercial.
For some reason, because I was so detached from them this year, I wasn't like in most past years. I've been there, like in the room, covering them all directly. This year, I didn't go to really any of the platform ones, and I covered the Ubisoft one remotely. And it was just, it really drove home how weird it is that you've got these like fucking corporate executives up on a stage. Being like, and this game's coming out September 28th. And then you've got all these fucking dudes just being like, yeah, fucking sweet, like applauding and going nuts. Like, how weird is this? What other
publishers,
group of people
the video
would get
game
this
industry,
excited
like,
about corporate guys going up on a
they
stage
have it so good.
And announcing?
I mean, from a business
like,
side.
Other,
I mean,
other entertainment industry things.
Like,
do
Apple
that.
Does that. That was the thing that made me. That kind of made me think about it beyond
I
just
think,
E3 because today
there
was the.
An enthusiast following as often, or like the press isn't there, but like. The film industry does that sort of thing where they'll, but it's usually like aimed at
like
a group of theater owners get pitched by studios
right.
on films that are coming up or like
usually when there's
but
like
the,
a but,
that's what I mean though like that's
right.
that's because that's the audience like it's weird that gamers in general like just people who play video games are so accustomed to watching a 2-hour sales pitch and getting excited about it like and even to the point where they get excited about it for like partisan reasons. Like, that is so goddamn weird. Like, I don't know. I mean, not to just crap on everyone, because everyone gets into it, but it's just, it is kind of strange. Like,
yeah, like if there was like a 20th Century Fox, like, yeah. press conference like where it was just trailers for 20th Century Fox movies.
With just people all over the world watching it on their computer screens and just freaking out every time they say anything. Like, it is a little strange. It is a strange way to disseminate information and get people excited. I don't know. I'm making a really facile observation here, but for some reason, it was really driven home to me more so than usual this year, just because I was so detached from it. And then we were covering the Apple thing this morning for Gamasutra. And, you know, even when he says, we're going to have SD cards in our laptop, and even that makes everyone go apeshit. And it's like, really? SD cards. Okay, great. Like, it's cool that they're there now and they weren't before, but, like, it's just amazing how at a press conference, almost anything you say is people are just conditioned to get like super excited about
Apple
it.
The Apple one, I feel like, is a little different because that one, I mean, it's streamed out to the public, but... never mind. I take that back. I was going to say the fact that it's a bunch of developers who are there. I was going to say it's okay to applaud because there are people who are going to actually be using that feature. But then it's like, why are they all going, woo!
Right.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Can't wait to let APIs exposed. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, whatever. Press conferences are weird.
They are.
Yeah.
But everyone loves them because they're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, this is a fairly bleak podcast for being.
I know,
podcast.
Really. Yeah,
this is dumping out. Sorry,
it's stupid because I think we're all actually probably kind of happy. I am at least. You guys might be miserable as all fuck. But I was this last couple of weeks and E3 made me probably because I wasn't at E3.
Yeah,
I just.
I'm really happy now. I wasn't a week ago.
Yeah, I'm actually not. I'm actually not miserable at the moment. In case that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Right.
That isn't. It might appear to be the opposite.
There was stuff at E3 that made me want to play video games, which sometimes doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
No, I mean, there was cool stuff. I am looking forward to Mass Effect 2. I thought.
Yeah, that was great.
I saw Brink, the splash damage game. That's really interesting. I don't know if it'll all come together. Nick, did you see a demo of that?
I did not.
Do you guys know what's the deal with that game?
The deal is that there's no distinction between the game's single player, co-op, and versus modes.
That's one of those things that people always talk about as a hypothetical thing that would be cool, but you can never
but
imagine
did,
how to execute
it. They did
it?
Demonstrate it in real time. Essentially, it's just that each mission is basically features essentially equally matched forces. And so each mission you can play from either side, either the rebel side or the security force side. I mean, it's a fairly traditional, you know, lineup, but it takes place. It's almost Rapture. Like it takes place on a floating city out off the shore of some place. And it's, you know, dystopic kind of thing, I guess. But
how does the mix of the different modes?
Well, if you play it single player, you're just one member of a squad and you just have to beat all these missions. If you play it co-op, you've got, you know, you and your up to seven buddies.
So is it just who you can communicate with in the game world when you're playing? Or these modes don't exist. They don't coexist. It's just...
No, it's one single mode. It's just however many people are in your game determines what you're doing. It's just there is one mode that can be populated with up to 16 people. Mm. And if there are 16 people, then you can play it in rounds. Or, I mean, you know, if there's people populating both sides, you can play it in rounds or whatever and do it however you want. But if you're playing it just on your own or with a few buddies on your team, you can just cooperatively play through the game.
Interesting. That's cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm really, it's a really unusual concept, and it's the kind of thing that I may have said this before in past podcasts, but one, I really like when there are developers who, you know, they have their game and they have their plot and they have their setting and their mechanics and everything. But I really like when developers also are trying to solve some kind of game design problem or just, you know, bridge some kind of gap in game design. I think that's really interesting. It's not that I necessarily want every game to play like this, but I like that there's a developer out there who says this is something that we could try to solve essentially, and we're gonna try to do it. And I think that's a really admirable thing, and I think it's cool, and I like when people do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It also seems like the sort of thing that this is a worthless statement. That sort of mechanic seems very splash damage.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all about team-based play with very specialized roles. And in this game, they even have the stuff that they did in their previous game where you can at any time, depending on your class, get context-specific missions that you can just do. And so you'll just, you know, if you're playing as an engineer, you can just queue up a mission that's specific to you, and it'll be build a turret in this strategic point, or if you're a demolition guy or whatever it is, you know, blow up this area. Just little things that make sure if you're not interested necessarily in just like death matching, there are always useful things you can do to help you complete the mission. And if you're doing it, if you're playing it cooperatively or single player, I mean, those are things that are actually going to help you progress through the game. And you've got a persistent character who you stick with the whole time, and he's got experience points, and you can customize how he looks and all that stuff. So it's a pretty full-featured game. It's pretty interesting. And on top of all that, mechanically, it's got a almost Mirror's Edge style parkour thing. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I heard about it. Yeah.
It's interesting.
It was interesting to me.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, I love that stuff, as everyone knows, I guess. But yeah, the two games I thought were interesting for that reason. There was that game, and then there was Heavy Rain, which is a completely opposite game in every respect. It's the single player adventure.
Is that game as 300% QuickTime eventy as it was, as it looked in that video that came out?
Yes, okay. Pretty much. Mm. So that's you know, it's what it is. You know, it's like if you play Fahrenheit, it's similar to that, okay, in that respect. But it does look a little more natural than Fahrenheit. Actually, I got my hands on with it, so I mean, I know it works a little better, but it's also really awkward still. I mean, it's an awkward game, and it seems almost deliberately so. Mm. Like, I don't know. You guys, did you guys both play Fahrenheit or what was it called?
Indigo Prophecy.
Indigo Prophecy.
I just played a little bit of it. Yeah, I like that you said, I got my hands on.
Yeah. Got my hands up in. And
that's weirder.
Yeah.
Reached up into it.
It's a weird. What was I saying? A video game.
Heavy Rain, Indigo Prophecy.
It basically feels like, I mean, this might be, honestly, sometimes I feel like this might just be a pointless exercise, but I mean, it, you know, much like Fahrenheit did, this feels like another attempt, like a different attempt to make a kind of mechanically modern adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much fruit that's going to bear, but it definitely feels like a game that is very consciously trying to do something and like trying to be something different and trying to fool around with kind of
trying too hard.
It might be. Yeah. That's
the impression that I've gotten from it.
It very well might be. And there's definitely one area where it's tried too hard, which isn't, God damn, the character you play. Well, no, there's four characters you play, which is actually really interesting. But the one that I played, which is this kind of male detective guy, he's the most fucking like, what's that guy? David Caruso, fucking yeah, wannabe. Like, Jesus. Yeah. I've never even seen the show that guy's in, but I've seen all of his intro, like the intro compilation where he takes off and puts on the sunglasses and makes a wisecrack. And then,
yeah,
I've seen that like 40 times. And it definitely seems born out of that mold where your guy loves just like, well, we'll see about that. Right. And you can there's even a button to take your sunglasses on and off. And
what?
Because they hook up to a forensic like visor thing. But I mean,
we've made jokes about that at Telltale a billion times because we've made CSI games. And right. It's like, oh man, if we ever get CSI Miami, we're totally rigging up B to sunglasses off on.
But, yeah. Well, this game does it for a gameplay purpose, but also.
Also,
you're actually. Yeah, exactly. It actually was like. It was actually fairly ridiculous because the scenario that I played, you go up against, it is the most cliche, like Law and Order CSI scenario ever. You're this like, you know, fucking white detective, like super smirky McFucking Smarterton detective guy from like a TV show going up against big burly black man who owns a like a car impound, and you've got to.
Oh, this is the scene that was released in the gameplay.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So I mean, maybe everyone's seen it
then
already.
Beat you
but
up
yeah,
and you almost get
right.
I mean, it was just like machine and stuff.
So
the
hilariously, yeah, so hilariously drawn from like network television detective show. It was hysterical.
Does David what's his name?
David Cage.
Does he appear?
Does he appear? He's the director of the game.
I know, but he was in the demo for Fahrenheit, just saying, "Hello, I'm David Cage."
Oh, not in the part I played. No.
No buy.
Yeah. It was, I don't know. I'm really curious about this game more than anything else. Like I look forward to playing it mainly out of curiosity than because I think it's going to be a sweet game. Like it might be.
Because it is
weird. But it's just
weird.
It's really weird. Like it asks you to play a game where you can't run or jump. You have to be pretty deliberate. Like it's just not what most games, especially not what most hyped up platform exclusive games are.
Are there actual moments where the game just stops and lets you walk around?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Because the footage that's been online is like not so much the evolution of an adventure game, but the evolution of Dragon's Lair.
And, right.
Good to know that there are parts where the game actually stops for a second, because the only footage is like the fight scene with the guy who throws you into the car, then you press left to dodge, and then he punches the car. Or whatever.
Well, and I guess this is even sort of similar to Dragon's Lair, but those sequences branch. So if you fail a particular QuickTime thing, it'll go a different way. When you actually are investigating a crime scene, I assume there are other things to do in this game besides investigating
crime scenes.
You're like
drawing a triangle to mop the floor and stuff like that?
No. You're just walking around and putting on your sunglasses, which turns on your forensic little visor, and then you kind of – it's really funny. And then you've got gloves. God, this guy is just the biggest – like Law and Order douche imaginable. Like, he has sunglasses and like black gloves that he uses to like wipe things off. Like, it's just,
and then he licks it.
I can't explain like what a hilarious like television douche this guy is. It's really funny. I don't know if this was deliberate to like capture. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like
it's campy. It's kind of
super smarm.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's deliberate or not. I really can't tell. I think it's probably not actually, but it ends up being funny anyway, so that's okay.
I would guess that's the case.
Right. But it's – you walk around and you investigate things and you piece clues together and you it's pretty – doesn't seem like it's – I don't know. It's not super, super innovative mechanically speaking, but I mean there definitely are a lot of times when you're not doing QuickTime things. And the one of the things I do find interesting about it is that apparently the game – there's no game over in this game at all. If your character dies, you just – pick up with another character, and if all your characters die, then there's like an ending for that. That is an actual conclusion of the story, which I find really interesting.
That's cool.
And it's they claim there are ways that, you know, if this character dies and this character dies, or these two or whatever. I mean,
that sort of style is definitely like a branch of the adventure game storytelling tree that died off a while ago.
Exactly. It's almost a branch of the Last Express basically does have game over, but it still couches them as this
and
is
then
what
the story
happens
ended this way.
Right, exactly, which I like. I mean, I think that's cool because it gives you, you know.
We should talk about Last Express more.
Yeah, I know. Mm. God. But this game definitely is going in that direction. And it's interesting, you know. I mean, I guess I'll say that it's interesting, and I'm curious about it.
Cool.
Yeah. Did you play Scribblenauts?
No.
Everybody's talking about Scribblenauts.
It's fucking amazing, though. Have you seen videos of it?
No.
It's amazing.
I saw the videos. Scribblenauts looks great. I can't wait to play
it
Scribblenauts.
It looks rad. I mean, are you being sarcastic? Because it looks so
fucking
sweet.
Scribblenauts.
Yeah.
It's a great game.
Scribblenauts into it.
Hopefully someone has done that. Hopefully it just does the like video feedback when you point a camera at the TV thing,
right.
And then the system turns off.
Yeah. System overload.
Hopefully a 70s robot appears and says system overload.
Yeah. But this is the game that claims you can type in to solve whatever puzzle the game gives you at any given moment. You can type in any noun and whatever you type will appear and interact with whatever objects are on screen to solve the puzzle. And it
appears they've built a billion things in
like
this game.
When they announced this, I was really trying to think of some way they could be doing it procedurally or systematically.
They're just putting a lot of stuff in
the
game.
They just built tens of thousands of objects. Yeah.
No, that's what's
there's
great
no
about
other
it
way
then,
to do it when you think about it. I mean, there really isn't any other practical way to do this, but it's just.
I didn't think they'd actually go and do that, though. I thought there'd be some sort of like set number that you had to sort of, you know, memorize or learn.
I mean, there surely is a finite amount. Like, I know.
Well, there's no proper nouns, for example.
Yeah,
but still, that. You know.
The video, as the video says, on the internet, you can't put Barack Obama into Scribblenauts.
Right.
You can't
put obscene things in. Like when you type penis, it says, did you mean peanuts, for example? But other than that, I haven't heard a single story. Other than that, I haven't heard a single story from anyone who said they typed in something and didn't get it. This is a game that everybody was talking about by the last day of the show. And so I've talked to a lot of people about it by now. And I haven't heard anyone say, I tried this and everyone thought it was awesome. I mean, I've heard so many crazy things people have done. Like go back in time and then make dinosaurs
and then you end up in dinosaurs
and then type meteor and then all dinosaurs go extinct. Like that's hilarious. People have just some of the craziest shit. I can't even remember any examples. I saw some examples where people just created these like 8-step scenarios, you know, where they summon knights and then they summon like monsters to fight the knights and then they have to drop a piano on the monsters and like all this shit to like, it's like the, you know, woman who swallowed the fly, and then she swallows the spider and all this shit, and he just keeps going.
That might be in Scribblenauts.
Yeah, probably. It's cool. It's a really clever concept. These are the guys who made the Drawn to Life game on the DS, which I don't know. People, this developer seems to have come out of almost nowhere. They made mobile games for a while, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden they're like this really cool, like interesting developer on the DS. It's pretty interesting. So Scribblenauts. I wish I would have played it, but yeah. I didn't.
But me you too. Can when it's released.
Yeah.
For the Nintendo DS.
Mm. Anything else you saw, Nick? That was good.
I saw a lot of stuff. I could go through a whole fucking list, but most of it's just like, hey, this game is a sequel to another game that was good. Did you play Beatles Rock Band at all?
Oh my god, yeah, I'm so excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I wasn't excited about it at all until I actually played it, and then I was like, hey, this is gonna be great.
I watched the opening cutscene like 80 times.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that cutscene was
how good
amazing.
Is that?
God,
holy yeah. shit.
God, that's like the best.
I wish that the in-game graphics were that.
Yeah. yeah. That said, I don't know. The
I mean, it looks good.
They look like Rock Band, but like the first thing that I saw was the gameplay video, because like everyone else at home, that's what I got to see. And I was still like, this looks fucking great. When it gets into the sort of like psychedelic era, and there's just people dressed as walruses in the background. And stuff, yeah. I was like, this is the fucking best. And then the cutscene came out, and I was like, oh my, okay, well... I thought that was good, and it's probably still pretty good, but this is the real best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. yeah.
But I can't wait to play that game. It makes me really sad to see, like, I made the mistake of loading up the Harmonix forums because I wanted to see who... Before people had confirmed, like, the
fuck
studio...
Fuck this, I want Metallica!
Yeah,
more Metallica!
Yeah, I wanted to find out information about the video, and I was hoping to find an HD download like and stuff, but yeah, I was like, this is great because it's the Beatles, and then everyone's like, oh, negating reason one because it's the Beatles. Yeah, more like, it's the Beatles, fuck this, fucking... It's like, wow!
What?
You don't need to play this goddamn game, you could just shut up.
They just want more metal.
Wow, Jake.
I hate the internet.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. No, this game looks rad.
Yeah.
And it's got the three-part harmony stuff,
I know.
Which is such
that's,
a cool thing
that's
to include.
Really, really cool.
That's one of those things where just once you watch people who have been playing this who are good enough at it, I don't know, when you watch people who are really good at Rock Band, it's usually you have to be pretty good at singing or you have to be good at the drums. But now,
right.
I mean, it's still singing, obviously, but just being at a party where three people who have actually been practicing and mastering Beatles Rock Band songs will actually be an impressive thing to watch.
Right,
like
I know.
It will actually just yeah. crush your face.
I saw yeah. I saw a demo by the Harmonix like group of Harmonix employees who have right. and MTV Games employees who have been demoing this game for all the versions for so long right. that they're all preposterously good at it, and they're also musicians to begin with. And so, and just honestly, like, it sounds so stupid because obviously I've seen a million actual real rock performances in my life, but right. like seeing them all performing it and doing all the harmonies, like, it was really amazing. It was a really awesome, really, really cool thing to watch. Like, I don't know.
Maybe you should
what
really learn how to sing three-part harmony with your friends.
Yeah.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Maybe you should really learn to skateboard. I am with Tony Hawk Ride. But yeah, God, we used to get that from my friend's sister all the time.
When you played Tony Hawk, right?
When we played, yeah, when we played Tony Hawk, when we played Tony Hawk on the Dreamcast or whatever. Mm. But yeah, it looks awesome. It looks really, really good.
What else did I see?
I might finally buy a Rock Band game instead of mooch off of my friend's copies of Rock Band.
Yeah. Oh my God, and Abbey Road is going to be downloadable content.
I know.
Yay! Yay!
Exciting. Yay! Oh my God, my favorite Beatles album.
Is it going to actually seamless play the
it
second?
Better, otherwise
second
it's pointless.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be ridiculous.
If it's like song, yeah. If you beat a song and then it's like okay, and next up she came in through the bathroom window, like oh.
Yeah, that would be terrible if it actually stopped and gave
right.
It's Harmonix. Like,
it's like you,
I, those aww. Guys. Yeah, I know those guys know what they're doing to such an
yeah,
extreme extent that I assume there might be like an overlay that comes up during some like dead time, and then
yeah,
and then it just flows right into it. Like if they do it any other way, that would be an enormous disappointment.
Yeah.
Also, that would make for a really impressive YouTube playthrough of
yeah, I know, yeah,
side B
yeah.
of Abbey Road or whatever.
Right, 5-star yeah. Abbey Road playthrough. Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Trying to think if there's other stuff I saw that I really liked. I mean, for what it's worth, I liked Left 4 Dead 2, of course.
Yeah, me too.
It was fun. I mean, that's not a surprise to anyone. But
I really
good.
Liked what I saw of Mafia 2.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that.
The comment looks a little questionable, but
yeah.
but the world and everything is just modeled to such an insanely satisfying degree. You know, I mean, just it's 1940s you know, amalgamation of New York and San Francisco and all these cities. And it's just, it starts in this diner and just like, man, what a, I mean, that diner was just more impressive to me than...
Did you actually get hands-on time with it? Were you able to walk around?
No, okay. No. But
I'm really curious to see if the Mafia 2 world actually holds up to the sort of fidelity shown in those videos. Once you can actually walk around and make the guy sit up and stand, you know, stand up and sit down over and over again. And sorry. Well, all the videos and all the demos that people show have all been very controlled walkthroughs. So you just get a glimpse of like, oh, the city's alive. And
I'm not anticipating that the city will be alive. But Mafia's always been like a very directed kind of thing where you're just driving from point A to point B and it's supposed to be background. I mean, it's not that kind of open world game, but I know what you're saying. I get the sense that it probably will feel a little bit empty in that sense, that it is like a background, but just as a background, it's pretty phenomenal.
If it's a convincing background, that's all it needs to be.
Yeah.
Like in a sports game, you don't need all the guys in the crowd to have a conversation with you.
Right.
But that would be so good.
You can see all their sweat, not just the... Yeah. That's what happens on the PS4 and the Xbox 720.
Everyone's sweat.
Yeah. Everyone's super...
You can use your wands
like
to like...
Ubisoft
fourth
press
quarter
conference
down to the wire.
The TV.
Yeah.
So what?
You'll be doing
Ubisoft
like...
Ubisoft press conference.
Where's that game?
Yeah, God. E3 press conference, the game.
Yeah, oh, Jesus E3 Christ. Press conference 09.
Oh, man.
The best. EA has got the exclusive on the Ubisoft. Like, all E3 press conferences are actually now licensed by Electronic Arts because they've acquired the E3 license.
Man, speaking of...
Even the Ubisoft press
conference. Yeah, exclusive rights. Speaking of press conferences, I was talking to Kieran Gillen after E3 because he emailed me to tell me to stop dreaming about him.
God.
And then, but he said he, a dream of his, I guess, I don't think he phrased it that way, but no, it's something he would like to do someday with I think some of the other Rock Paper Shotgun guys is
a dream of his.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. Sounds way cheesier than what I intended to say.
You were dreaming of me. Let me tell you about something I was dreaming of.
He wants to. He would like someday to get some kind of actual representation of the PC platform at E3, because it get like God, how buried was the
Games
P3 during the fucking? Well, I mean,
yeah,
Microsoft's
last year,
conference. It was just like all these games. You're not going to play these games anywhere except Xbox 360. Yeah. Alan Wake, Left 4 Dead 2.
They really
2.
Gave up like, this year. Last year they had a Games for Windows party. This year they didn't. They had a Windows 7 thing that.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like...
Yeah, but the parties are not any... You're never, ever going to get any news disseminated out of those. I mean,
no.
That's not ever what you're going to do.
I heard a guy was drunk at a party.
Yeah, that happened, yeah.
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 That's in E3, the game. It's level 3.
I think it's level 17.
Yeah, I don't know.
Made me cry. Anyway, it sounds like we're winding down.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit.
Do you guys want to do any reader mail?
We don't have much.
Hey guys, how was E3?
Yeah, well, there's one that's like, I heard some people are protesting Left 4 Dead. What do you guys think about that?
You mean Dante's Inferno? Or the Left 4
Dead. Yeah, Dante's Inferno. God, EA
the
fucking
fake
staged
protest, the internet protest.
Jesus.
What?
You didn't hear about this?
Oh,
nah.
I've heard enough.
Yeah, you've already
heard the whole story now after that sentence. Oh man, Gamer Grub was at the show.
That's launched.
Oh,
it's in stores.
Did you sample some
no, I didn't.
Pizza?
No,
I did actually
some
sample.
It was Gamer Grub 2.0.
Some chocolate?
I didn't. No. I did sample this drink that's apparently Fatality's like
you
official.
Some
you sampled Fatality's drink?
It's like.
Oh! Man! Well, no. I mean, that's just.
In the press room, if you got there like anytime past one, there was no fucking like soda or coffee or juice
left.
Well, they had
drink.
This. They had these like PR people distributing these like free samples
the
of this drink, but there's these little tiny fucking cups. These like little thimble.
You drank 30 of them.
You drank a thimble of this juice.
I felt bad about going back. It was pretty good.
You
it was
did.
Like,
you went back. For
no,
more.
I didn't. I only got one per day. They were pretty good. I got to say, I don't remember what it was called.
So, way to go, Wendell.
Yeah, Wendell.
WTG.
Wendell. Oh man! Apparently, Jeff Buds of GameStop, mega retailer, says Gamer Grub is the greatest snack creation ever. They also misspelled Gamer Grub in their own press release. So, good job.
Wait, the Idle Thumbs questions at Idle Thumbs email address got sent a Gamer Grub press release.
Yeah,
sweet.
It's pretty good.
So let's see. We didn't actually get very much email. Probably most people are just watching E3.
How did they misspell Gamer Grub?
They put it just all as one word Gamer with Grub. Just lowercase letters.
Gamer Grub.
Yeah. Well,
Nick is dreaming of Gamer Grub.
Joshua Freer, aka Freezer, wonders if we have any expectations for what games will win the Goaties this year. The Goaties.
Oh.
Like any predictions?
We'll cross that goatee when we come to
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about that.
Video games? I think a video game will be the winner.
At this point, I'm still trying to keep 2009 games and 2010 games straight in my mind.
Yeah, I know. Fucking, there's so much stuff coming out in quarter one. I would probably
be like, I'm really looking for this game's going to be game of the year, and it'll be something that's going to be actually scheduled for late 2011 or something.
I don't know. We can really piss everyone off by saying Left 4 Dead 2.
Right. Yeah. You know, I do think, I mean, I guess I'll say a little bit about that game, because I don't think we really
I did kind of want to touch on that.
Yeah. They're trying to actually make the campaigns more connected, so the place you end up in the previous campaign is more connected to the place you start.
Is that good?
I don't know. Is it bad?
I don't know. I kind of liked that the four campaigns were...
That they were different.
They were kind of...
I think they can do that, though.
Well, this is different. I mean, the idea is you start off in Savannah, Georgia, and end up in New Orleans. So, I mean...
Okay.
There's no way to do that without making it different. Yeah, it's just the idea that you're actually explicitly going from this place to another. And the funny thing is, I talked to the project lead, Tom Leonard, about this. I don't know. It's a good question. And he was saying that was actually kind of what they were originally going for in Left 4 Dead 1, and they just didn't end up pulling it off. Like, there was actually a specific touch tone in, like, Pennsylvania that they were going for with Left 4 Dead 1. They actually got reference material and stuff, but they just never...
Right, really, the hospital
and
everything.
This is the zombie movie that takes place in a hospital. This is the zombie movie that takes place in the woods. Like,
But the idea, the idea is that it actually sort of connected. They just never...
Oh,
it never
God.
Entirely came together. But in this game, they're trying to make those seams less jarring.
Also, Coach is voiced by Cuddy from The Wire.
I know, that's great.
I think it's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, you uncovered that.
Yeah, that was...
Scoops.
Scoops journalism. Yeah.
Scoops journalism. Scoop P journalism. That's me.
Journalist. I'm a newsman.
Scoops P journalist. Journalist. I'm a newsman.
Yep. Pretend there's some suspenders snapping right there.
Definitely a hat with a press card sticking out of it.
The press card might say video games.
Yeah.
Did you actually play it, though?
Yeah, I did. I played through the campaign.
Did you beat the game?
I beat the entire game. I played through one of the
I can kind of understand why people probably look at the video and go, you know, it being out in the, you know, out of doors and kind of brightly lit. And it does sort of, if you squint, it could pass for a Counter-Strike level in a weird sort of way.
Huh.
But I think that, well, no, you know what I mean.
We'll leave that one. Go for it. Keep
going. Yeah. But no, I think there are enough interesting things going on. I think Valve, you know, they're not saying everything. I mean, there's a whole mode that they're not announcing. I mean, I think people will be more excited about this once they realize what the whole package is and once they actually see, like, what it is. I
do wish there was announced Left 4 Dead 1 DLC, because I really... This is stupid, but I really was expecting there to be some. That said,
it's not stupid. I think that's a reasonable... as much as I'm not on board with the people who are like, fuck you, Valve, and hey, fucking Valve, I think there are reasonable, I think there are reasonable things to say. Well,
I don't feel ripped off for buying Left 4 Dead 1. If Valve had never said there's DLC, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there who bought it saying, I'm only buying this because Valve's putting out DLC later. But the four campaigns that were there, I got enough playtime out of those, like, more than most games.
I think people need to be really reasonable about how they complain about Valve and their, I mean, free updates, free content. I mean, it's great what they're doing for Team Fortress 2, but that is a very high standard. And you know,
the fact that they talked about it in the context of, and we're looking to do the same thing for Left 4 Dead.
Oh, well, all right, but it's the same.
Gabe Newell has been out there, like, all the time for the last year, being like,
Gabe Newell is also out there.
Well, yeah, I know. But I mean, I'm just saying, you know, he is...
They set expectations.
It's not unfair to take his statements, you know.
That said, it also wouldn't be horribly surprising at this point if between now and Left 4 Dead 2, something was dropped into Left 4 Dead 1.
I just wonder how they're going to do that. You know, like, if you drop it too close to Left 4 Dead 2,
I think there's a
realistic worry about fracturing the community.
I think they're going to do the 4v4 matchmaking. They're going to do community maps, but I'm not sure if they'll do
I don't think there's
going
to be any more Valve-created maps for Left 4 Dead.
Yeah,
I don't think
that's
there will
fair
be
enough. Also, I would be perfectly fine with Valve handpicking a feature length community campaign and just putting it out in an official patch.
They did it for Portal.
Yeah. Well, they're releasing the Crossroads Mall thing is coming out, the community maps.
Oh, cool.
Because that is one of those things where, unfortunately, the same people who are up in arms about this are probably the people most likely to have already played or known
about
that map.
Yeah.
But I'll play it.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't really hold it against Valve for making what seems like a fairly wise business decision after the complete runaway success of that game. Putting out a sequel seems like the completely obvious thing to do, even if it makes me slightly annoyed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One thing also to mention. I don't really think this got picked up much after I reported it, because it's not really the most mind-blowing news or anything, but Valve South, I did confirm Valve South no longer actually exists as a studio.
Yeah, there's just a couple dudes.
There's a couple dudes who are no longer actually employed by Valve. It's Mike Booth, who's the guy who started Turtle Rock, and some of his original guys.
It's sort of gone full circle.
And then, exactly. And then everyone else who didn't split off and work with Mike Booth now got just hired into regular Valve up in Washington.
Right.
And so it's basically now how it was about 2 or 3 years ago, where it's Mike Booth and a few dudes collaborating with Valve as separate entities. And so those guys are actually now back to working on a project with Valve. So it was a amiable split, but I guess Valve just figured
those guys didn't want to move. So they
exactly.
Just,
and the way Valve works is that after every project, they're like, all right, everyone kind of shuffle up and move to a different project and kind of, what do you guys want to do next? And that didn't really work when you had these guys who were like the Left 4 Dead guys in a different office. Like, how do you integrate them into the Portal 2 team or the Episode 3 team or the Team Fortress 2 team? If it's just like
Left
4
Dead 2 team.
What's up, one guy in Irvine, you know, so it sounded like the guys who were willing to move just moved, and the guys who weren't are just doing what they were doing before the buyouts. So probably works out great for Mike Booth. He probably got a bunch of money for the original sale, and now is just kind of doing what he was doing before anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm making that up. That's not necessarily right. That's not confirmed. Unlike the
or
other stuff.
Or they might have actually just murdered all of those people.
Yeah, they could all be dead.
Also,
Kim Swift is working on Left 4 Dead too. She's the Portal designer.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
So that happens. You know, Left 4 Dead 2 is going to have a wacky computer talking to you. Could Left 4 Dead 2 be the first first Valve sequel to use Portal technology? You thought it was coming in Half-Life 2 Episode 3. Get ready for a fucking shocker.
Man, I am slightly dismayed they didn't show Episode 3.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
Half-Life's canceled.
In retrospect, it's not that surprising, but God, I'm looking forward to that game.
I might pull a fast one and do something with that soon.
Are you hinting?
No. I have a feeling. I just talking to Lombardi. He was like, I don't know. I like something like PAX. I don't know. They might just sort of be like, hey, this is also coming this year. And everybody
this year? Yeah, right.
Probably not, but you never know.
They're not going to release Left 4 Dead 2 and
Episode
3 this year. That's not going to happen.
The Oranger.
But I could see them announcing something this year. I could see them teasing something.
A little tease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were going to tease something this year, like around now, and didn't.
No, they announced Left 4 Dead 2.
Well, no, of Episode 3. I mean, they were saying, you know, something's coming, or, you know, in the earlier part of the year, and then, you know, didn't hit it. So,
anyway.
Do-do-do.
Hey!
Cool. All right. Well, you guys want to wrap it up?
Yeah, we're wrapping it up.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed our grumbly E3. I guess it turned into a more enthusiastic E3 halfway through.
Sure.
Yeah. We love video games. This is Idle Thumbs E30.
Yeah. All right,
bye. Like E3 episode 30. You see?
I forgot something about Alien. Oh, well. Aliens versus Predator.
Oh. Yeah. Do you want to?
Nah, it's all right. Next week, Alien.
Yeah. Well, I won't be here next week.
Next week, we'll talk about Nick.
Video game.
Yeah. The Ultra 64.
It's like, like the Dolphin.
No, that's... You guys ever hear about that kid who got one of those for Christmas?
An Ultra 64? Like a Killer Instinct cabinet?
Yeah.
I really wish we could find the Super Nintendo one. Do you remember that when we were at just like a taqueria in Berkeley and an America's Funniest Home Videos rerun from like the mid-80s? You were there with me. It was amazing. And America's Funniest Home Videos rerun from like the late 80s, early 90s came on when we were eating food, and a kid was like, Super Nintendo? Super Nintendo? And he's ripping open the box, and his little brother was there. And it was just, it was the N64 kid, one console generation earlier on America's Funniest Home Videos. It was, I felt like I was in an alternate dimension.
Yeah, that's
where
amazing.
Like, where that was the meme.
God,
was
I totally
the Super
forgot
Nintendo.
About that.
Yeah, do you remember it now?
Yes, that was years ago.
Yeah, it was N64 kid was already old news at that point.
Man, God, it's actually surprising the internet hasn't.
I know,
like seized on that.
Someone surely has that episode of America's Funniest Home Videos on
like
tape,
on an ancient VHS tape.
Yeah, God.
So that's like the.
It probably wasn't the 80s, but I mean,
it was probably the 92 or something.
Yeah, three. Yeah,
that's like that Play It Loud commercial that I remember, but nobody ever remembers, and that may not actually exist, but is nowhere on the internet. The one where there's like a big. It may actually have been a Sega commercial, but no. It was definitely Nintendo. It was like a big dude. He was supposed to look like Mario, but he was like 600 pounds, and he was eating like a big plate of spaghetti. And then he's eating it. It's like the beginning of Seven, but with Mario. And he eats it, and he literally explodes into the screen. Like there's just like fucking spaghetti just like flying out of his stomach.
Are you sure that's a Nintendo commercial?
It may have been Sega. It may have been Sega like mocking Nintendo.
Are you
but-
sure it's not a Monty Python film? Because isn't that in the meaning of life? A fat guy that eats food till the
no,
end.
No,
it's not spaghetti specifically. I mean, I don't think he eats spaghetti.
It was definitely. It may have been a parody of that, but it definitely was a game commercial. I don't know if it was Sega or Nintendo.
And it was Play It Loud.
It was in that era, that you know. If it wasn't Play It Loud, then it was Sega's, like you know, fucking.
It was like a Sega.
Sega, like a Sega.
I heard that they do what Nintendo doesn't do. That's what I heard.
Oh, there are things Sega will do that Nintendo just won't do. You should ask. Yeah. Dirty tramp.
Yeah. Weird.
Video game.
Mario Kart. Oh, I have to join it by hand every time. I hate that.
Really? I don't. What do you have to do?
I don't know. We can't ever find Mario Kart.
Weird.
Joining Mario Kart. Can't find Mario Kart.
Really?
I need Mario Kart to live. Oh, I can't find Mario Kart. This better not go on the podcast.
Video game.
You got